This is TFC Postgame Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
TFC Pitchside. I am Marco D'Onofrio, joined by Michael Leach and Emil Delich. And we are at BMO Field literally an hour after the final whistle went on what was an absolutely insane game.
That's one way to put it. I don't think my heart rate has come down yet. My blood pressure is a little bit high. The intensity here this afternoon was it's everything you want from a playoff game. It's maybe even crossed the line at certain points. But the fans who paid to come here, I don't think anyone's walking away feeling like they got ripped off today.
No, and I must apologize, TFC fans, because I said on Tuesday's show that New York had no chance in this one. And clearly I was wrong because what we just saw. I'm not sure if it was Toronto's lack of effort, because that was certainly not the case.
No.
We saw New York, though, come into this one, as you mentioned off air, play the heel, and they were the aggressive side.
Yeah, I mean, it was like WWE out here. The fans were throwing things, and, you know, and I think the Red Bulls were absolutely happy to play that role. I think Jesse Marsh came in here. He wanted to upset TFC and get them out of rhythm. And mission accomplished on that aspect for the Red Bulls. They didn't get the result that they wanted, but they certainly didn't make this easy for Toronto FC. And this was not an easy matchup from the beginning, and I never thought that it would be. But Toronto got a lot more from the Red Bulls than I thought they would get on this afternoon.
And if this was a WWE event, Chris Penso referee, I don't know what special guest referee he would be, because
he's playing the role of Earl Hebner.
The Montreal Screwjob, because he was hearing it from the crowd all night as chants, "Ref, you suck," rained around BMO Field, and some questionable calls to say the least. But let's start off with that first half, because it didn't seem like Seba was getting any call. Josie, I mean, maybe his size is a license to hack him down. I don't know. We saw him sent off at halftime, and we'll get to that in a little bit. But what did you make of the first half and the refereeing period?
Well, I think that Sebastian Giovinco maybe has a bit of a reputation for going down easily, and I think Jozy Altidore might be gaining that sort of reputation as well. He is a big guy. He's tough to bring down, and sometimes it looks like maybe he goes down a little bit more easily than he should. That said, a foul is a foul, and you got to call it. And I think that's one of the reasons why the fans were so upset with the referee at halftime, booing him off the pitch. And I've been around here for a number of years. I don't think I've ever heard a referee booed off the pitch the way Chris Penso was booed off the pitch this afternoon at halftime. And a lot of it comes into, it's the playoffs. The referee is going to let a few more things go. But there were clear fouls in that first half that he just turned a blind eye to. And Greg mentioned it in his availability after the game, that he felt that Bradley Wright Phillips was getting the benefit of some calls from the referee early, and it wasn't going both ways.
And those boos at halftime came before they disallowed the two goals in the second half that we will talk about in a little bit. But going back to that first half, we saw some altercations between both sides. We saw Sasha Kleiston right in the face of Jozy Altidore. Both were sent off at halftime. What did you think about that situation? And did the ref get it right? I mean, we still don't really know what happened or what transpired in that tunnel. But from what you saw on the pitch anyway, did he get it right?
Well, the heat between Kleiston and Altidore goes back to leg one. Altidore subbed out. Kleiston pushes him off the pitch. All of the other stuff that happened off the field in that game, Jozy came in. His emotions were high. He's an emotional guy. And Kleiston knew that he could push those buttons. And he was going to continue to push and continue to push and continue to push. I felt that the referee, when there was the altercation in the first half and he issued the yellow cards to both players, I thought the Kleiston absolutely deserved the yellow card. Josie's, he might have gone down a bit easily on that, trying to make something more out of it than was there. But to give that yellow card to Altidore, just the referee was asking for an issue from the fans. He was asking for it. And I don't know. The yellow cards, they are what they are. In that instance, Josie's got to know after he gets that yellow card, you have to, you really have to watch your emotions and watch your temper.
Yeah, and my thing with that whole situation was, if Josie wasn't going to get a yellow card before he went down, I don't understand how him going down warranted that yellow card. And that still confuses me a little bit. We saw, I mean, again, we can't really speak to what happened in the tunnel. Greg Vanney, I know in the post-game press conference, basically alluded to the fact that he was ambushed. He didn't really see much as to what happened, but he said Josie was ambushed in that tunnel.
I saw a video of it at halftime, and it was really hard to tell who was doing what because, and as Drew Moore said in the locker room after the game, there were about 25 guys milling around in the locker room or in that tunnel area. So it's hard to say who did what. Jesse Marsh has a reputation for being kind of a fiery guy that likes to stir things up, so I don't know whether I would put that past him. Again, he said coming into this match that he wanted to stir things up and get under TFC's skin. And if it takes going after Greg Vanney to do it, I don't see Jesse Marsh shying back from that.
No, and it was incredible to see. I mean, incredible scenes here at BMO Field. Michael Bradley also mentioned after the game in his post-game comments that New York's locker room is on the left side, TFC straight ahead, so the Red Bulls really had no business even being near their locker room. So that's a talking point. But back to the product on the pitch, from the 23rd minute to about the 33rd minute, it was all Red Bulls. And clearly they were coming out here with nothing to lose, firing on all cylinders almost. They couldn't find the back of the net until that, call it a fluky goal, I'm not really sure. Royer did find the back of the net, but it was probably deserved at that point, no?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the Red Bulls came in here, they knew they had to score two. They knew they had to be on the front foot. They knew they had to attack at TFC. I actually thought that they maybe came out a little bit slowly for that first 20 minutes. And then, as you said, from the 20th minute really through into the 30th and almost into halftime, the Red Bulls really controlled the play. And that was what I expected from them from the beginning. I don't think that TFC handled it maybe as well as they could have or should have. I would have expected Toronto FC to try and find something on the counter, and it just wasn't happening. They just weren't able to find the link-ups. And just spent a lot of time under pressure. I don't think anyone should be overly surprised by that, though. That's the way the Red Bulls play, and that's the way they had to play here, knowing that they had to basically win by two goals.
Yeah, and I do apologize. Bradley Wright Phillips is actually being credited for that goal. So
it's his 100th as a Red Bull.
Wow.
So I'm sure he's not celebrating it all that much.
No, not
knowing that his
not
team's
tonight.
Going home for the year.
Yeah, and it was one of those games that really was wild to see the Red Bulls go up 1-0, and you could just feel the nerves as soon as that ball hit the back of the net. Nobody was really sure if it had gone in or what the situation was, but when the Red Bulls brought it back to the center half, everybody was just stunned, and you could feel the anxiety coming around BMO Field. Bono came up absolutely huge with a big save on Bradley Wright Phillips to keep it 1-0 and probably saved his team's season, right?
Two games in a row he did that. You know, basically in the same spot in leg one, and then he does it again tonight. You would pick Bradley Wright Phillips to finish that off 99 times out of 100, and he was robbed blind by Alex Bono on that. And, you know, that's I think that Bono has to start getting a lot more consideration, and maybe he's probably underrated as a goalkeeper. This was a coming out party in this leg, being able to stop Bradley Wright Phillips. Those two plays saved Toronto FC's season. That save tonight, he doesn't make that, and we're probably talking about something completely different right now.
And even more impressive is it was his first ever playoff game here at home. So that was a big result for him, a big result for this club going forward. Also keep in mind Seba's free kick magic from the first leg. If he doesn't score that, this team's out right now because both TFC's goals in the second half were disallowed. Osorio's goal was called offside. And the Vasquez goal, well, we're still not really sure what happened with that one. Vanney mentioned in the post-game press conference that the fourth official actually apologized to him because he didn't know what happened either. That was kind of shocking.
Which referees don't ever apologize for the decisions they make on the field. I mean, they make the decision and they generally stand by it. And there was a lot of confusion on the play. It looked from where we were sitting up in the press box that Vasquez had asked whether the referee was going to enforce the 10 yards off. The referee said no. Vasquez takes. The only thing that I can think is that the referee maybe didn't blow the whistle. I don't know. I have no idea why that call was made. I don't think Greg Vanney was completely confused by that call. It's the playoffs and it's crazy. And these are the sort of talking points that keep us coming back to this, right?
Yeah. And you know what? I give Greg a whole lot of credit because he kept his composure in that post-game press conference. And you know, he wanted to snap. He was livid. I mean, he kind of showed it, but he didn't. He kept his words close to his chest. He was very smart, calculated, because he was clearly not happy with the officiating today. And I mean, neither was this crowd, as we alluded to a little bit earlier. Regardless, though, Toronto FC is moving on, but they will have to do it likely without Josie Altidore. Greg said that, who knows, they'll be reviewing the video from the tunnel, so there's some optimism he may be allowed to play the second leg, but as of now, in the conference final,
yes.
As of now, he is out, and so is Sebastian Jovinko. Vanney alluded to the fact, well, they got Ricketts, and they're more than comfortable with rolling him out there, and whether he has a partner up top or not is another issue for another day. Right now they're just taking this win, but TFC fans have to be concerned about that Eastern Conference final without their lethal tandem up top for that first leg.
This team has shown resiliency all year. If you think back to I believe it was during the Gold Cup when they went to New York City FC and they were missing like half of the 18 and still managed to pull out a 2-2 draw. Now this is different. This is the playoffs. To Sebastian Jovinko, I mean, Altidore's situation, and I believe the league should review that, and if the Red Bulls are in a place where they shouldn't be, I think the league seriously has to consider rescinding that red card, particularly if Josie was attacked. The guy has to be able to defend himself, and it was said that the referee wasn't even in the tunnel. Drew Moore mentioned that. The referee's not even in the tunnel. I don't know how he's giving red cards when he's not there to see what actually went on. That aside, Jovinko's yellow card. He knows that he's on yellow card accumulation from the last game. I understand that you're emotional. I understand that it was a highly intense game. The emotions were very, very high. You got to keep it in check knowing that you're on a yellow card. You can't get in the face of the referee. Greg Vanney mentioned it in his post-game availability that the coaches were told prior to the season that if you get up from what you perceive to be a foul and you get in the face of the referee and you chase him down, you're going to get a yellow card for it. So the referee in that instance, going by the letter of what the league wants, absolutely got it right. And Jovinko's got to do a better job of keeping his emotions in check so that he doesn't hurt the team by not being able to play in the next leg.
Especially in the playoffs. And I think the most dangerous part is getting the yellow card in your first playoff game, because he's missing the first leg of the Eastern Conference Final. It's huge. It's crucial. Fine. But it could have been even worse for him. Imagine he gets that in the second leg of the Eastern Conference Final and potentially misses an MLS Cup. Right? It's so important, because when it comes to the MLS playoffs, it could be very, very... what's the word I'm looking for here?
Bizarre.
Bizarre. And it could be very, 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 I want to say...
it's emotional.
It's emotional, but it could be very damaging. It could be very tough, because, again, it's five games, right? It's five matches, and the best MLS team of all time we saw on the pitch today was mere seconds, potentially, yeah, from being eliminated in the first round, right? There is no easy way to this. And I was actually talking to producer Emil during the game that how many times have the Red Bulls won the Supporters Shield only to be eliminated in the first round? We could have easily seen that today here in Toronto, and the Red Bulls, who finished sixth in the regular season, go on to that Eastern Conference Final.
It's funny that you mentioned that, because that was the first thought that I had when this draw came up at the end of the regular season, or after the play-in game when the Red Bulls absolutely destroyed the Chicago Fire. My first thought was, A, they're getting on a bit of a roll, and B, the Red Bulls are that team. that traditionally just plows its way through the regular season, wins Supporters Shield, win the Eastern Conference, and then lays an egg in the playoffs. This is going to be the year where they squeak in. And they talked about it going back to the beginning of the season. They weren't so concerned about the regular season this year. It was the playoffs that they were setting up for. They were building their club for the playoffs. So when this matchup came up, it's you start thinking, you know, that might be the very scenario that plays out. And it came very, very close to happening here tonight.
Yeah, we saw Toronto FC with just one shot on goal here at home. I mean, we don't see that, particularly this season.
This was, and I tweeted it out during the game, after the goal was scored, the New York Red Bulls were playing this absolutely perfectly on the road. They had gotten under TFC's skin. They did not allow the Reds to do any of the things that they wanted to do, any of the things that they typically do on this ground. And they absolutely played it just right. Unfortunately, well, fortunately for Toronto FC, and Michael Bradley alluded to this, Toronto FC, for as, I don't want to say they played poorly tonight. They didn't play poorly tonight. This was a scrappy game. It was back and forth. This game could have gone either way. Michael Bradley said this team, throughout building this season, has, I don't know whether resolve is the right word, but they found the mentality that they need to be able to survive adversity like they had in this game tonight.
Regardless of the fact TFC is through to the next round, Drew Moore, Victor Vasquez were both able to go today. What did you think
both
of their...
Both looked good.
Yeah, well, I was just going to ask you, what did you think of their performances?
Drew Moore was named man of the match, and I thought he was absolutely worthy of it. He was... Yeah, I thought he did a tremendous job at the back, made a lot of really nice tackles, nicely timed tackles. I thought he played a very safe game. Victor Vasquez, I think that Felipe was trying to get at him, and I think in the first half, Felipe was having some success. I don't know that this was maybe Victor Vasquez's best game in a Reds uniform, but again, it was good enough. I thought both players looked like they were fit. I don't think that's any concern going forward. For TFC, this was a war, and they lost the battle here tonight. They win the war. They move on. I believe those guys will be ready for, and if Jovinko and Altidore are not available for that first leg in either Columbus or in New York City, Victor Vasquez is going to be called upon to be very influential in that game. And obviously Drew Moore, he's been rock solid at the back ever since he arrived here last year. I expect nothing different from him.
And never mind what he's able to do with the ball at his feet. Vasquez is just such an intelligent player. And you can just see his leadership throughout the pitch. And you can see his leadership throughout this team. We actually saw up close, producer Emil and I, him talking to Justin Morrow at points in the first half, telling him where he'd like him to be at certain points. So I think that was crucial. And I think that leadership is very, very important. And you're right. With Jovinko and Altidore both potentially out for that first leg in the Eastern Conference Final, Victor Vasquez becomes that much more important. We saw him become that second striker today once Altidore was sent off. As TFC switched to a back four, it was basically a 4-3-1-1. We saw Haglund came in. I thought Haglund looked good. He is that threat in the air that you need, that defensive threat in the air as well. How important was he in? I mean, do you think that was the right move, taking Mavinga off and putting Haglund in? And potentially, do you think we should see Haglund starting next game?
From what I understand, and it was hard to tell just watching, but from what I understand, Chris Mavinga might have picked up a knock. Mm. So he might not have been at his best, and that might have been why Vanny pulled him off in favor of Nick Haglund. The question with Moore all week was, can Haglund step in? And Greg Vanny all week at training was very unequivocal in saying, if Drew isn't ready to go, or if anybody gets hurt at any time and we need Nick Haglund to go in, that's fine. We're more than happy to have him come in. He didn't play at all in the second half of the season, but in the first half of the season, before the knee injuries started to creep in, he was very solid at the back. So I have no issue, and Toronto FC should have no issue with having Nick Haglund on the field. To Victor Vasquez, you mentioned something about his intelligence. There was a play here, I want to say it would have been in the first half. He got the ball on the sideline, and he could have run into a couple of defenders.
Yes.
And rather than doing that, he's got eyes in the back of his head, just a quick little back heel. And Marky Delgado's right there. That caught the Red Bulls slightly off guard, and Toronto almost ended up with a good chance out of it. It didn't end up working out, but that's that kind of that football sense, that intelligence that you're speaking to with Victor Vasquez, and that's going to be required as this team goes forward. It's the leadership. He is exactly what they brought him here to be. The leadership, the intelligence, the ability to make some things happen so that Sebastian Giovinco doesn't have to do it all.
Marco D'Onofrio, Michael Leach here at BMO Field for TFC Pitchside. You're talking about going forward. Are there concerns now heading into the Eastern Conference Final? Because coming into the playoffs, everything was good. Team was grooving. I mean, decent result in Atlanta to wrap up the regular season, the greatest regular season in MLS history. And then you had these two games, which literally left TFC fans with their hearts in their throats. Chances are they'll be meeting Columbus in the Eastern Conference Final. That game's still being played right now. The city leads 1-0. But are you concerned going into that second half or going into that Eastern Conference Final?
I actually think this was the best thing that could have possibly happened to Toronto FC. Not that they needed a wake-up call. I don't think they needed that. But they needed to be pushed. They needed to be put under fire. It's that sort of, how do I put it? It's that intensity level that maybe they weren't presented with during the regular season. They were presented with it over these two legs, put heavily under fire, and it wasn't pretty, but they gutted it out. And I think that's important for this team going forward into the next round. The card accumulation for Giovinco and the potential suspension for Altidor, that could play a role in the first leg, but I think this team, the adversity is good. I think it's good going forward. I think that it's absolutely what they needed. They didn't, a cakewalk here, I don't think would have served them well. I think they'll be ready for the next round.
Yeah, and in particular, a home loss, nothing rattles you more than that home loss and shakes you up a little bit. And you're right, maybe that's what Toronto FC did need. And what we do know for certain is that Josie and Seba should be back for that second leg, which goes here at BMO Field in a few weeks' time, because a couple of weeks off with the international break, which really kills momentum for these MLS playoffs, but it is what it is, and that's what happens during a FIFA calendar. So for Michael Leach, for Marco D'Onofrio, TFC Pitchside with your regular host, will be back tomorrow. Brendan Dunlop, Thomas Michalakos in studio. They'll have some audio from the Vanny press conference post-game, as well as some TFC media and interviews throughout the locker room after the game as well. So for Michael Leach, for Marco D'Onofrio, Emil Delic, we're out of here.